A is for automakers, B for banks. Who's next?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. We go down the alphabet to L for life insurers, the next industry set to receive some sort of federal bailout. Life insurance companies are major players in the financial system, many invested in some of the same toxic mortgage-backed assets that got the banks in trouble. And now it looks like some relief is on the way. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
For months, life insurance lobbyists have been pushing for their industry to get some of the cash set aside for the banking bailout. Several big insurers even bought small savings and loans so they'd qualify for federal aid. But that aid hasn't been forthcoming.
Is it a matter of panic? No. Is it a matter of some disquiet? Yes.
That's how Frank Keating, president of the American Council of Life Insurers, explained the industry's move to Marketplace last month. Since then, Keating's been waiting for word of government help. That word came, at least unofficially, last night when the Wall Street Journal published a story saying an announcement of aid to life insurers will come within days. In the past few months, life insurance bellwethers like the Hartford, Prudential, and the Principal Group have taken a beating, and the entire industry has reined in its purchases of corporate debt. Life insurers have traditionally been one of the largest buyers of corporate bonds, and their decision to pull back from that market has been another big drag on the economy. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Wall Street markets have yet to rebound this week. The second day in a row, stocks are on the slide. The Dow lost more than 2.3% yesterday, 186 points to close at 77.89. S&P shares were off 2.3% as well, and the Nasdaq fell 2.8%. Asian markets lost ground again today. Hong Kong stocks lost 3%. And percentage-wise, the Nikkei shed more than 2.5%. European shares are slightly lower at this hour, mostly under 1%. Today in New York, General Motors is unveiling a new mid-sized crossover at the International Auto Show there. Of course, the reality is, who's going to buy a vehicle from a company that could go bankrupt? Word from Detroit is that GM is preparing to take advantage of a section of the bankruptcy code, one that would allow it to keep the most valuable parts of its business intact. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
It's called Section 363, and it would allow the company to sell its top-performing assets and brands to a new GM right away. That's seen as a better option than breaking the company up and selling it in pieces. Kenneth Klee is a bankruptcy law professor at UCLA. He says, imagine your apartment building is filing for bankruptcy.
You could take apart the bricks and mortar and the pipes and sell all those off at auction. Or you could take the apartment building and sell it as a building. It's worth a lot more as a building than it is as bricks and mortar and pipes.
The new GM building would include the most viable parts of the company, brands like Cadillac and Chevy, while leaving strugglers like Pontiac and Saturn behind. Stephen Gross is co-chair of McDonald Hopkins Automotive Practice Group. He says a 363 sale makes sense for GM, given the pressure to get in and out of bankruptcy fast.
The key problem that you have with a company this big is it can't move quickly. This will at least allow it to move faster.
The only other option, he says, would be a prepackaged bankruptcy, but that would require concessions from unions and bondholders, concessions that have not been forthcoming. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Americans are drinking more California wine. The Wine Institute says that American sales of California wines were up 2% from 2007, despite the nation's economic fallout. But people are apparently drinking cheaper bottles. The retail value of the sales was down slightly from 2007. Foreigners are also drinking more wines from the Golden State. Total U.S. wine exports, most of which are from California, topped $1 billion in sales for the first time ever.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, delivering people-ready enterprise solutions designed to help companies do more with less. Details at Microsoft.com/people-ready.
We've heard it time and time again. This recession is unlike any other. Yet the temptation to compare it to past downturns, especially that one in the 30s, has proved difficult for pundits and policymakers to resist. Commentator Will Wilkinson thinks if we want to look for precedents, it's time to look beyond our borders.
Our current economic downturn has brought to life old debates about the Great Depression, what got us into it and what got us out of it. The role of the New Deal looms large. Did it deepen the Depression, as many economic historians now say? Or did it save capitalism from itself, like I learned in sixth grade social studies? Let me tell you, people get really heated about this question. But hold on. Is this debate really relevant to our current crisis? The U.S. of 80 years ago is a strange and faraway land. When the Great Depression hit, there was no Social Security, there was no unemployment insurance, and Jim Crow was in full effect. There was no such thing as a mortgage-backed security, a collateralized debt obligation, or a credit default swap. U.S. currency was backed by gold. Financial systems all over the world have undergone a series of deep changes since the 1930s. Trying to draw current policy lessons from the Great Depression is sort of like coming up with a new strategy for the war in Afghanistan by studying the Normandy invasion. Our pundits' obsession with the Depression and the New Deal represents an all-too-typical American exceptionalism, as if only our history really matters. But an apt comparison requires similar institutions, not the same flag. If we're going to fight over history, let's fight over the recent history of the 1990s Japanese and Swedish banking crises. Let's talk about the financial collapse of Argentina, from which it has only recently emerged. All those economies were more like America's is now than America's was way back when my grandpa was playing football in a sweater and a leather helmet. So what lessons should we draw from the rather more germane recent experiences of countries with similar economies? Truth is, I don't know. Maybe I should work harder to find out. And maybe American opinion makers should spend less time fighting over FDR's enduring legacy and more time learning from the rest of the world.
Will Wilkinson is a fellow at the Cato Institute. Share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.